Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. This is the word of the Lord. And he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you. And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. And he said to me, Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. And whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, be not afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. And you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house. This is the word of the Lord. At the beginning of Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel sees the Lord descend to the earth in his heavenly glory, seated above the cherubim on a chariot throne. And at the end of Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel hears the Lord speaking to him. Ezekiel chapter 1 ends with Ezekiel fallen on his face before the Lord. And Ezekiel chapter 2 begins with Ezekiel standing in the presence of the Lord. For this is what the Lord spoke to him. Son of man, stand on your feet. Now, as we consider these verses in Ezekiel chapter 2, our attention will be primarily on two things. And the first is on the Son of Man. And the second is on the Spirit. First, we want to consider the meaning of this name, Son of Man, which Ezekiel is called. And second, we want to consider the importance of the Spirit. For it is only by the Spirit that Ezekiel is able to stand in the presence of the Lord. It is only by the Spirit that Ezekiel is able to hear the word of the Lord. Now, this morning we will consider the first part. This morning we will consider the Son of Man and the meaning of this name, Son of Man. Son of Man may also be translated as Son of Adam. to be a son of Adam is to be one descended from Adam. And in this sense, we are all sons of man. For we are all sons of Adam. We are all descended from one man. We are all descended from the first man. We are all descended from Adam. And we see this throughout the Old Testament. We see man referred to in this way. We hear it in that profound question of David in Psalm 8, when David asks, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" God is not a son of man. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? The Lord looks down from heaven upon all the sons of man. Psalm 33, verse 13. He knows the hearts of all the sons of man. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 39. He is the one who returns man to the dust, saying, "Return, O sons of man." Psalm 90, verse 3. To be a son of man is to be a son of Adam. To be a son of man is to be descended from Adam. To be a son of man is to be human. It is for this reason that some translations will translate this phrase, "son of man," as "human." And he said to me, "Human, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you." And when the text is translated in this way, it captures the great distance between the one who is speaking and the one who is being spoken to. It captures the great distance between the Lord and Ezekiel. It captures the great distance between the one who is exalted above the heavens and the one who falls on his face before him. However, something is lost when we translate this phrase as "human." It's not that the Son of Man isn't human. He certainly is. But in the book of Ezekiel, Son of Man, it is telling us not only what kind of being Ezekiel is, a human being rather than a divine being. In the book of Ezekiel, Son of Man becomes a name. It becomes a title. The book of Ezekiel, it is the first place in Scripture where someone is directly addressed as Son of Man. When God addresses Ezekiel as Son of Man, It's not only telling us that Ezekiel is human. Son of Man, it becomes a title. It becomes a name that refers to one Son of Man in particular, rather than to all the sons of man in general. We see this in Psalm 80. Psalm 80, verse 17. But let your hand be on the man of your right hand, the Son of Man, whom you have made strong for yourself. And of course, we see it in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 9, verse 6. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Matthew chapter 12, verse 8. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This idea that is so clear in the New Testament, that the Son of Man becomes a name, that the Son of Man is a title referring to one son in particular. This idea begins in the Old Testament. It begins in Ezekiel. And so if we want to understand the meaning of the title in the New Testament, we must attend to its meaning in the Old Testament. We must seek to understand the way in which it is used in the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, it shapes our understanding of the meaning and significance of the Son of Man. It shapes our expectation. It shapes our hope of who the Son of Man is and of what he comes to do. What then did it mean for Ezekiel to be the Son of Man? What did it mean for Ezekiel to be the Son of Man? First, we may say that it meant for Ezekiel to be a second Adam. We see this not only in his name being Son of Adam, but we see it also in his office of a priest. Ezekiel was not only a prophet, Ezekiel was also a priest. We saw that in chapter 1, verse 3, whose ministry began in his 30th year. The book of Ezekiel begins in the 30th year. The 30th year of Ezekiel's life, the year in which a priest's ministry would begin. Now, what does Ezekiel's priest have to do with Adam? Well, Adam himself was a priest. Adam was the first priest. Adam was a priest in the garden of God. In Ezekiel, the Son of Man is a second Adam. And Ezekiel, the son of man, is a priest. And that helps us to understand what the Son of Man is sent to do. The Son of Man is sent by God to a nation of rebels. The Son of Man is sent by the Lord to a rebellious house. Now that should also remind us of the first Adam. For the first Adam himself rebelled against God. And Ezekiel, the Son of Man, is sent by God to the sons of man. The Son of Adam is sent by the Lord to the sons of Adam. The one who is sent by God to them is one who is like them. He shares their humanity. He shares their likeness. He shares their nature. He is fully man. And of course it would be this way. For if the Son of Man is a priest is chosen from among men to act in behalf of men. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1. A priest is a representative figure. He represents the people whom he serves. And that was true of Adam as well. Adam was a representative figure. He represented the people who would be descended from him. He did not act for himself alone, but for those to be descended from him as well. And so it is with the Son of Adam. So it is with the Son of Man. He also is a representative figure. He also represents a people, the people whom he serves. The Son of Man. A second Adam. He is sent to the sons of man. And why is he sent? He is sent to serve as their priest. The Son of Man, a second Adam. He is sent to the sons of man. He is sent to those who bear the guilt of the first Adam. He is sent to those who bear the guilt of Adam's sin. He is sent to those who bear the guilt of their own sin. Now, what does it mean for a priest to serve a people? What does it mean for someone to serve a people as their priest? We saw that clearly in Leviticus. One of the primary things that a priest does is offer sacrifice. He offers sacrifice to make atonement for guilt. But in the book of Ezekiel, We never see Ezekiel offering sacrifice for sin. In fact, as we will see, Ezekiel is sent with a word of judgment. But the way in which Ezekiel will proclaim this judgment is significant. How does Ezekiel proclaim the judgment of God? In words, yes. But that is not all. In the book of Ezekiel, the Son of Man proclaims the judgment of God by himself bearing the judgment of God. We'll see this very clearly in Ezekiel chapter 4. When Ezekiel proclaims the coming judgment against Jerusalem and the house of Israel. And in order to do this, Ezekiel himself must bear their punishment. God says this explicitly. Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 4, "You shall bear their punishment." In the book of Ezekiel, we see that the Son of Man must bear the punishment of the rebellious house to which he was sent. In the book of Ezekiel, we see that the Son of Man is not only the one who proclaims judgment, but the Son of Man is also the one who bears that judgment. Which brings us back to the Son of Man's being a priest and the absence of sacrifice in the book of Ezekiel. What are we to make of this? It is this. The Son of Man isn't sent with a sacrifice. The Son of Man is the sacrifice. The Son of Man is the one who offers himself as a sacrifice. The Son of Man is the one who bears the punishment of God's people. First man brought guilt upon his people. The Son of Man bears the guilt of his people. In the book of Ezekiel, the Son of Man is used as a name. Is used as a title to refer not to all men in general, but to one man in particular. In the book of Ezekiel, Son of Man belongs to one particular son. It belongs to one particular man. Whom Ezekiel himself was only a shadow. For it is the name, it is the title and ultimately belongs to the one man, Jesus Christ. He is the Son of Man sent by God to the sons of man. He is the one with authority to forgive sins on earth. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the one who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He is the Son of Man who came in the likeness of man. Was fully man, that he might be identified with the sons of man, sent by God to bear the guilt and the punishment they deserved. God sends the Son of Man, not because his people asked for the Son of Man. God sends the Son of Man while they were his enemies. God sends the Son of Man to save his people from their sin. The Son of Man in Ezekiel, it is a revelation of Christ, of who he is, and of what he came to do. Sent by God in the likeness of his people to bear the punishment of his people, the punishment they deserved, the punishment you deserve. Ezekiel is an old book. Written thousands of years ago. What's so important about it? What's so important about the Son of Man? You are all the sons of man. That's why it's so important. You are all the sons of man. You are all descendants of Adam. You need a second Adam. You need a priest to bear your guilt for you. You need a priest to bear your punishment for you. You need the Son of Man. You need the Son of Man for you. All the sons of man will fall on their face before the Lord. you all will fall on your faces before the Lord. But unless the Son of Man is for you, you will never stand in the presence of the Lord. Unless the Son of Man is for you, you will never stand in the judgment of the Lord. So how may you know? How may you know that the Son of Man is for you? By faith in His name. Who do you say that the Son of Man is? Call upon His name. His name is Jesus. Call upon the name of Jesus. Will be saved. You will stand in the judgment. You will stand in the presence of the Lord. Everyone will fall on their faces before Him. But only those who fall now before Him will be made to stand by Him. When the Son of Man comes again, will He find faith on earth? When the Son of Man comes again, may He find faith in you. Amen. Let us pray.